Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hello and welcome to the Professional Insight Podcast, Season 5. We don't know what episode it is. No one really cares. Anyway, my name's Brandon Curry.
What?
There you are.
We're missing somebody.
Where's Jeff?
Where's Jeff? Anyways, there's Josh Bond.
I'm Josh Bond.
There's Trevor Lindy.
Yeah, exactly. But where's Jeff?
Boys, where's
isn't it? It's Better Call Collins.
Ooh,
I think it's gonna. I like that. I think it should now be where's Collins? Like where's
Collins?
There we
not,
go.
Not Better Call Collins.
No, where's Collins?
And we've like had like this date in the book for a while. Like he, you know, right? Like just so you know, all of our listeners, feel free to chime in right now and chirp the hell out of Collins right now.
Yes, please do.
He's one of the reasons why today. I mean, we do like our bi-weekly schedule. However, we had to firm up on our bi-weekly schedule, right, boys? I'm not lying. It's because Mr. Collins had other social engagements, which is fine. That is totally fine. However, he's not here. We don't know why. We got no
maybe
idea.
Maybe he had his weeks mixed up.
Possibly.
Yeah,
and possibly. If I do know that he will be at Blue Mountain for the weekend, but yep. Looks like he may have left a little bit early. So if anybody happens to see his ugly mug around Blue Mountain,
yes,
feel free to get up, roast him, give him some hell, and tell him we sent you.
Yeah, and tell him, and just also tell him, Rookie, our producer, you know, he's mad. He's livid. And if side note, if you knew Rookie, he doesn't get mad and he doesn't get livid. So that's funny.
I think Collins' punishment should be changing one of Rookie's son's shitty diapers.
Absolutely. That's a great idea.
There we go.
Yeah. There we go. That's only fair.
I think so.
Change the diaper.
Yeah.
I mean, the producer who has a kid, right? Showed up today, you know?
Yeah.
All hands on deck.
A young kid,
right? Yeah. Did you know that last time we went live, right? Rookie's wife had a chiro appointment, right? Rightfully so, just gave birth, 100%. Like, but so he was watching a baby while producing our show at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, trooper.
We saw him with the little one on his shoulder afterwards.
Absolutely, trooper. And you know what? Where's Collins?
Trev, maybe give him a call.
Oh, I already have.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You want to try live?
Do you really want me to?
No. You know what? Just let him squirm. This is great.
Yeah.
This is great.
I end up calling. If he does answer, what's he going to say? Something maybe crude, rude, shouldn't be on the show.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Right. All we're going to get is his voicemail. You've got great taste, but bad timing. I'm not available.
Please leave
a call right now.
I'm all tied up.
Yeah.
I'm all tied up at the moment.
I picture
Oh, yeah. Picture's all tied up. Where are you tied? We want to know. Like, where were you tied up to? What does Jill have you tied into right now?
What's going on?
Knowing Jeff, it's just a late night playing DMZ on his PlayStation.
True. All right, well let's talk about what's going on, you know, like what's going on in the world today, you know.
There's something wrong happening with the world today.
Oh, but you have no we got inflation still. Oh, surprise, inflation's still high. That's shocker. 6.3%,
but it is down
the month of December. It's down. It's down by 30 basis points, right? From 6.6, 6.7, right?
Yeah, it was 6.9 to 6.3. That could be a mistake.
Oh,
it was 6.8.
Did it go?
Yeah, it was 6'8".
6'8 to 6'3", so 50 basis points.
Yeah. Okay. But the funny thing is, food prices are still running high.
Still high.
No, really? That's shocker.
Right?
Like, I don't, because I think nominal inflation or real inflation is still, right? Because I think the 6.8 to 6.3, that was the nominal
core
inflation,
it's
right?
It's core. They strip out energy and they strip out food.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, got it. So that, all right. So that's why it's down. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So core inflation dropped, but inflation's still running hot.
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
Predominantly because of the food, the oil and gas is, it always kind of ebbs and flows a little bit, right?
I know, right?
What's driving the food though? Now, what like, do we know? Like, I want to
speculate and say greed.
Hmm. Like, there is definitely a component of that.
Yeah, like so there's a hot, so my next door neighbors are originally from Thunder Bay, Adam and Lisa, and nice when they were away in the summer, they brought back for us tending to their garden and stuff. They brought back called Heartbeat Hot Sauce, I believe is the company, based out of Thunder Bay. Great hot sauce. Anyways, I happened to be going through the superstore couple of weeks ago, and sure enough, there's two of the hot sauce flavors, the red habanero and the pineapple habanero, on the shelf, $10.99. Okay, all of a sudden I'm realizing I'm getting low on the red habanero. I place an order for my online groceries the other day, and now it's $11.99. Why? Why is it up by $1 a bottle? Doesn't make any, like, it's like they're going around the stores and just adding more money to, oh, this one we can probably bump up a little. Oddly enough, I had to go to Zaire's at the Penn Center because there's a couple of things that we can't get at the superstore. So I'm at Zaire's and I just happen to be walking down that aisle and I see the hot sauce there as well. It's $12.99 there. Mm. Now, somebody brought up the fact that, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but they used to, Zaire's at the Penn Center used to give Brock students a discount. So I'm not sure if they still do, but it got me thinking, okay, if they give Brock students a discount, have they just marked everything up to keep in mind that the discount, they'll still make their regular profit margin? I don't know. That's the only thing I'm thinking.
But now, where is it at though? Like, are the peppers more expensive? Like, is the cost of the core pepper, the cost of farming the pepper more expensive? All of it?
No, I think it's labor. To be honest, labor is a big thing that's gone up huge, astronomical. Right?
I would agree with you.
Other than that, right? Like, that's a main input. That's a main variable expense to any production. Right? So. Yeah. You want to get people on. I mean, you're paying a premium now, right? So I don't know what the reason
is. All this company is making is hot sauce. How many people do they really employ in the production facility? Right. Obviously, they have to have a big enough production facility to be able to put their hot sauce in various stores, right? Big box stores,
right.
Like they are.
Depends on volume, right? Depends on the volume that they move.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is they can't, it's probably not, you know, I don't know who it is, but let's say it's a husband and wife owner. It's probably not the husband and wife owner running the entire facility. So there's people in there to keep up with the supply requirements, right? That's the point I'm trying to make with it. So I don't know.
No, I mean, I'm looking at the website. It doesn't look like an overly large production, right? Like,
no, it's not. It's great hot sauce, by the way. Anybody that wants to try it.
But I'm just saying,
if you're listening and watching, go out, buy some, try it. Tag Heartbeat Hot Sauce from Thunder Bay in it. Tag Professional Insight Podcast in it. Tag all of us, right? And tell them that you heard about it from us. And then, hell, even tag Two Sisters Vineyards, because Adam, my next door neighbor, is the head winemaker at Two Sisters Vineyards. There we go.
We'll really?
Nice.
There we go.
We'll try and work it out, and then we'll force them into sponsoring.
Oh, great. So we're going to get a pallet of hot sauce is probably what we're going
to
get.
Some wine to wash it down.
And some wine to wash it down with.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Hey, burning ring of fire. It's something. Yeah, we're happy. We're happy.
Speaking about the ring of fire, has anybody heard about the ring of fire up north?
Yes.
Because that's got to be getting up into... At least preliminary production pretty soon, no?
Well, something's got to change. So let's, you know, Trev, you know this. You and I have been, you know, I've had my name on a list for an electric vehicle, domestic electric vehicle, not a Tesla, domestic electric vehicle for about 2 years now.
It's a Chromite mine? The dealership. Is that what it is? Chromite? Is that what they're mining up there? Is it Chromite?
Well, a bunch of others, a bunch of stuff. And they do have a lot of, there's a huge chromium deposit and it's massive and it could definitely do some real great things for Ontario's GDP. The problem that they're running into, as I brought up on the last podcast, Peter Zion, who's a geopolitical, speaker, you know, he's writing the new book out right now. The End of the World is Just the Beginning or something to that effect. It's a great book. And so 2 years, it finally is on its way. And so I get the pricing and it's 9.9% on a 2 year lease, 8.9% on a 3 and a 4 year lease. The warranty package is great. It doesn't qualify for the federal, you know, grant for an electric vehicle for whatever reason. It's under $100,000 drastically from a MSRP perspective. Can't use, it's a GM vehicle. Can't use my GM discount because my dad's a former GM employee. So I can't use that. And so it was going to cost in excess of $1,200 a month. Sharing that with anybody. And it was going to be, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't justify it. And yet GM, amongst other, like the state of California and other car companies, want to be fully electric by 2035. If you recall, the residential vehicles, essentially. And when talking to Peter Zion, or you're listening to any of his podcasts or anything of that nature, he said no time in human history, even going back to the industrialization, the Industrial Revolution back in the early 1900s, has humanity ever 2x'd their raw material output in a decade in order to keep up with demand? It's never happened. It's next to impossible from a labor perspective, as you guys can probably appreciate. If you base it on what the state of California, which has about 40 million people, more than Canada, and if you factor in New York State, which also has close to the less than the population of Canada, but has quite a large population, New York State. If you factor all those in, just in North America alone, we would have to 10x our raw material output in a decade in order to meet the 2035 deadline for the state of California, state of New York, and also for Chrysler, Toyota, Volkswagen, General Motors. Forget Tesla. Tesla is going to be left in the dust. And so everyone's like, how is that going to happen? So prices for these electric vehicles are going to stay high for a very long time, unless some intervention takes place. And there's no way that there's going to be mass adoption of the electric vehicle market purely because we won't be able to get supplies and it'll be too expensive for people to actually purchase. Case in point, myself. I mean, right? I mean, Trev, you and I have this long conversation about this, right? Like, I can't justify that price.
Yeah. Well, and let's be honest. So not only from the material perspective adoption, there was an article came out in January, a woman, I believe she was driving like a Hyundai or a Kia electric vehicle on the 401 corridor. I forget where, maybe she was coming back this direction or she was headed out east towards Ottawa, Montreal. And the charging station along the 401, she couldn't get juice in her vehicle. So until there is the infrastructure that's necessary, so not only the materials, but the infrastructure itself to support the demand for it, it's never going to be the case, right?
Right.
Nobody will be able to hit those targets. And it's funny because Toyota is really making a big push. And they're, so what they're saying is hydrogen fuel cells. That's where they think the next big kick is going to be. They're going to be hot. They're going to continue with their hybrids, but hydrogen fuel cell. So basically,
it's funny.
You fuel like you would a regular vehicle with liquid hydrogen, and then that converts it to clean energy. Water is the emission from it, and it powers the motors to drive.
Well,
but our fossils are finite, right? So we got to move away from them anyways, right? We've got to move away from them if we're any kind of an intelligent being, right? Like it's.
But the problem is they can't do it to scale right now. And right, they can't do it to a scale to the point where, you know, it's going to be able to get the pricing of electric vehicles down to a spot. Now, to your point, Trevor, on hydrogen. Again, Peter Zion addressed this as well. Hydrogen is one of the most dirtiest fuel sources currently today in the world. Because the hydrogen oxygen, like H2O, is essentially what you would do.
High quality.
To break those bonds apart. It takes so much energy to break that H2O bond apart, as an example, because water has the most easiest access to hydrogen, right? So to break those bonds apart, okay, bring them in. That's perfect. Hey, look who decides to join us. Wow.
Thanks. What happens when you forget to bring your phone when you leave the house?
yeah. Okay. Totally, anyways, back to totally hydrogen. What's this going on? Oh, there we go. 400, maybe like $40.
$400.
Yeah.
$400.
Contact Kevin.
There you go. Contact Kevin.
Yeah.
Good deal.
I'm in. I can pay $400 for it.
Who's Kevin?
Well, we're talking about hydrogen fuel.
That's my specialty. And perfect.
Yeah.
That's what I was right.
Yeah. So anyways, we were saying that it's actually one of the most, because to break that bond apart, to get enough hydrogen, it would take a ton of energy. And that energy just doesn't exist in most places in the world that's clean enough in order to do it. So you would need coal, you would need nuclear, you would need all these things to have enough energy to break this apart. And that's the problem.
Did I miss our guest? I know I'm just catching up here. I thought we had a guest.
Thanks for interrupting, Jeff. No.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
It's a segue. I got to smooth in here.
No, we addressed that at the very beginning.
With a wrecking ball, hey?
Yeah.
our guest is sick. She's sick.
And if we didn't have to worry about possibly interfering, we could play, what's it, Wrecking Ball? What's that song? If we didn't have to worry about copyright.
You probably have to. Yeah, you got to copyright.
He came in like a wrecking ball. That's Jeff for you.
Yeah.
You saying Jeff looks like Miley Cyrus? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh, not right now. He doesn't.
I'm in not me client mode right now. I just ran around like an idiot all morning, not even thinking. And I knew we had it today too. I apologize. My bad.
Shit happens.
Hey. Beers on me at my house.
Yeah, we're waiting for that invite. Can't wait.
My wife's got to get over her PTSD of our New Year's Eve party. So, you know, it's a perfect segue into mental health if you want to do that with Bell.
We were about to.
We
were about to. But if you want to finish our previous.
Yeah, well, my other comment on that was, what about the TVs, the plasma TVs? Can we kind of parallel it to flat screen TVs? Like, you know, none of us had flat screen TVs like 15 years ago. Yeah. 20, for argument's sake, right? And then all of a sudden, like they started off, like I bought my first flat screen. It was 4K. For a 40-inch,
32-inch, like a 32-inch, almost.
Yeah, small, right?
I've got a 32-inch plasma right now. I still own a 32-inch plasma.
Nice, but you can get a 65-inch now for $1,000. 20 years later, so is it like with the? I'm just in terms of drawing a comparison to the electric vehicle.
Coming down.
That's completely different. And the reason why is you buy a TV, you keep it for a couple of years. I drive my car with hydrogen. I run out of hydrogen. I need more hydrogen.
Yeah, but right? Just so referring to battery technology,
there's different
materials that can go into the makeup, the composition, the chemistry of the battery. So as long as everybody's not using the same chemistry in their batteries...
Correct.
Right. And there's different ways to make lithium batteries, which is what a lot of the electric vehicles are, you know, at the same time.
Lithium ion, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I keep getting screwed over by Toyota on my Tundra hybrid, keep getting delayed. Who the hell knows when it's coming? But anyways, the comment is, well, it's hybrid. I'm like, the battery is nickel metal hydride. It is not lithium. So don't use the lithium raw material excuse for me. Mm-hmm. Like there's not as much demand on nickel metal hydride batteries. So stop with the
BS. Well, they probably aren't doing anything because you've got a car right now and they know you're going to keep that till you get the new one. So they'll take the new client over you probably first, right?
Well, if you really want to get into it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Probably.
We're here for the truth.
So... Yeah. I'm in a lease. My lease expired of July 2022. I specifically got my lease because the new Tundra was supposed to be released in 2021. COVID caused delays. Okay, so we're delayed by a year, 2022. My lease expired in July. I put my deposit down on this truck as early as I could, which was January 2022. They have my money. I was told I'm first on the list to receive the TRD Tundra, the TRD Pro Tundra, okay?
Yeah.
First on the list. Yes, there's other Tundras, there's lower models. Toyota tries to keep the TRD Pro, the Capstone, the 1794, which are their highest level trims. They try and keep them exclusive. So they don't produce as many of those as they do the lower end models, like the SR5.
Nice.
I find out from someone that the parts manager from this Toyota dealership wants a TRD Pro as well. And apparently he had an agreement with the sales manager that he's the first to get one. He doesn't have any money down on it, but he's getting the first one. I'm now talking and dealing with the general sales manager at this dealership. And we'll comment about that in a minute. But here I am. Now I'm being told by the general sales manager, because of this agreement, the parts manager, he's been there for 34, 35 years. He's going to get the first one and I'll get the second one. Excuse me? Why have you been telling me from the beginning that I'm the first? And the only thing that's keeping me here at this dealership right now, I was dealing with them because of clients, right? So they scratched my back. I want to scratch theirs.
Sure.
So that's part of the reason I've stuck around. The other reason is they've had my money for almost 13 months. I have a contract in place at a certain percentage. I go anywhere else, I lose that.
Who's getting interest on your deposit right now?
They are. They would be, right?
Yeah.
The dealership.
Well, yeah. Unless it's built into the agreement somehow. Well,
no, but it's not, right? If you look at any of those contracts, it's never in the agreement to be in favor in anybody but the dealership. So I've got the vehicle is $2,700 more because I'm no longer getting a 2022. I'm getting a 2023. I am, the interest rate has gone from 4.49 to 8.49.
Nice.
Right. So I'm arguing with them saying, no, my contract is for 4.49. Yeah. You're going to give me that contract, Toyota. I don't care what it takes, but I'm legally entitled to it. It's not my fault that I'm not in this vehicle yet. It's your fault.
Fun. So time to lawyer up, buddy. Time to lawyer up.
Woo. Isn't it insane how something so tiny or allegedly so tiny could cause so much chaos?
It's
well, there's brutal. So many of them in a car. Yeah. It's so, there's so many of them in a car, right? Like the chips, right? You can't, like, everything's
I'm talking about this pandemic. You know what I mean? Like, just some little.
It's affected everybody. Every interest rate change is monumental in cost to the end consumer.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, like I said,
how vulnerable we are.
Yeah, well, the two year lease was 9.9%, and I said, so when I factored it all in, it was $1,232 a month on a lease, on a 4 year lease, and that's with money being down. And I'm sitting here going, like, I'm 2.5x-ing my. Now I understand. It is an electric vehicle. There is no gas, so. It's cheaper to repair. So there's a lot of cost savings, but it's not anywhere near. Like, I bet you.
Hold on. It's cheaper to repair. It is, but it isn't. And I'll sorry to
certain
cut you
things,
off there.
Certain
Part
things.
Of the reason I'll explain certain that things. Is, well, a lot of people don't realize this, that in most electric vehicles, they have a brake regeneration, right? Yep. So braking will recharge the batteries when you're braking. Same applies to a lot of the hybrids out there. I don't know about you guys, but my mileage went way down during the pandemic, drove a hell of a lot less. Yep. Had I had a hybrid sitting in the driveway, the cost of that repair at that time would have been substantially higher to replace the brakes because of the brake because of that whole system that goes into it. So yes, you don't have a combustion engine to be dealing with from a maintenance perspective, but you have these other things to be mindful of.
Very expensive batteries. Very expensive batteries.
What I'm
right?
curious,
batteries don't
Curry,
maintain
do
their charge forever.
Now? Do you have an electric car now, Curry?
No, I don't. Because it came through, and I'm like, I can't justify over $1,230 a month because I also still have to put in the battery pack charger in my garage. I then also have to, which GM, to be fair, is going to cover up to a certain amount, but quite possibly that's more money out of pocket. And then I have to pay to charge it. Like, I still have to pay to charge the bloody car. Yeah, like, it's
that's
going.
What I'm curious about, how much is it going to raise your monthly bill and your hydro bill? Because hydro is crazy high right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're smart and you're doing it off peak, which you normally would anyway, you're probably, you know, what is it right now? What, 12 cents a kilowatt per hour on off peak, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. Something like that, 12 cents. So you figure, you know, it probably cost me $20 a charge. Like, it's peanuts in the grand scheme of things.
Not
for
even
a full
$20 a charge though. So the reason I say that is because, so there's a couple of YouTube channels that I watch, and for a while there, I had a real hard on for the Rivian R1T, which
is like, oh yeah.
And I was kind of like, okay, well, how much is this going to cost me? You know, it's 80 for the Tundra Hybrid. It worked out that it was 140 for the Rivian. So I'm like, okay, can't be bothered. Like,
your face is in slow motion.
I'd be, what's that?
Your face is like slow motion when you're talking right now.
Me?
Oh, yeah, your internet's cutting out.
Oh, it was like a creepy subtitle movie.
Anyways, keep you know. Anyway, keep going.
So Rivian. So one of the YouTube channels I was watching and talking about, they did a hybrid test with a gas vehicle, with a diesel vehicle, like a GM that has the cylinder deactivation, the electric, and at a fast charging station, which will charge typically in under an hour to charge up your battery. The price on that, keep in mind, it was US, was like $20-something. And the cost on fuel was $80 US.
25%.
Yeah, in the equation. And the point that they were trying to make is, look, we paid $24 to charge this electric vehicle right now because we got to charge in an hour. Whereas at home, if you're charging off peak throughout the night, charges over 8 hours, your cost is substantially less than that 24. Like maybe it's costing you $10, $12 max to charge your vehicle at home. And they were referring to, they're in Colorado. I believe they mentioned California rates, which obviously California has some of the highest electric rates in the world.
Yep.
Right. So yeah, the cost charging at home isn't as great as.
Have to also add a 200 amp service to your house? If you're 100 amps, you got to go 200 amps.
Not necessarily. If you got an upgraded panel, like I've got a panel that's upgraded. So okay. My electrician told me that if it's at nighttime, I don't need to upgrade my panel to 200 amps because there's nothing going on during the night besides the air conditioner in the summertime. Yeah. So I've got enough power.
But
so
what I'm
converting the power towards the car as opposed to other stuff, really.
That's they didn't put
yeah.
probably a pony panel or something on.
But Curry, they didn't put in a 200 amp when they because your house was built in
only 2021. You had to put a 200 amp. That's the only year, and then they got rid of it. And they did it because yeah, it of was, cars, but 2022 you didn't have to. So a lot of builders went back. Our builders, we do it still.
Yeah, like but isn't oh yeah, that's right. It wasn't it 2017. There was,
yes, they
there was
passed
one
it.
Year they had to do an electrical provision to put in enough to put in a junction box, I think it was, to allow for electric vehicle charging in your garage.
Well, you had to run a conduit. That's all you really had to do.
Is that what it was? Is just a conduit?
2021,
a conduit.
You had to just do 200 amps because they put 75 amps towards the electric car charging.
Okay.
But if you don't need 75 amps, which is a ton...
That's I was going to say, does it draw that much? 75 amps? Like, there's no.
Not I guess they charger. Used it. I know. I guess they used it, like, hey, yeah, during the day, two cars electric charging at the same time. Like, that is probably why they said 75 amps. But I mean, you think about it, I'm running everything here at my house on a 100 amp panel, and I've yet to blow a fuse.
And you've got a hot tub, too, right?
Yep. Yep.
Hot yeah, I've got pool. Hot tub, sub, or a sauna, pool house coming. I had to go 200 amps. There's no chance.
Yeah, and I have 200 because we did the heat pump for the heater for the pool. So I basically have two air conditioners. And
you had upgraded 200 amps though, right?
I had to upgrade to 200 amp. Yeah, so I upgraded my, thankfully, like running from the street to the house was already 200. It was already a large enough wire to carry.
Oh.
It was just from my meter. And in the city of St. Catharines, when they did meter replacements a few years ago, they replaced everybody's meter for, I think, 200 or 400 amp because it was just cheaper for them to buy them in bulk.
Yeah.
And put the same meter on everybody.
Is yours overhead or is it underground when it
mine's
comes
underground.
In from? Yeah.
Mine's too. Good developer, cheap builder. That's what you got.
Who's that?
Right?
No, well, but nobody was putting in 200 amps back then. Like, how old's your house, Trev?
He's got 200 to the house.
97. Yeah, but 97, nobody was putting 200 amps in. Like, this is something that's kind of new now.
But then what do you got 200 to the house, though, he said.
Yes.
Yeah, but builders just weren't doing it. Just no builder was doing it.
And the reason it was 200
to the house. What developer was?
Well, because Electra, formerly Horizon, didn't want to have to dig up wire 20 years from now to carry the 200 amp load.
Which was smart.
And the hydro company wants to get as much electricity to your house as possible, right? Like, they want to pump you full of electricity.
Well, not only that, though, you got to remember, like, in 97, okay, we had no Wi-Fi, right? Everyone pretty much had dial-up internet. No one had fibe. No one had cell phones. No one had, like...
No one had
there
Zoom
was none
podcast.
Of that stuff.
Imagine Zoom podcast on dial up. That'd be great.
Oh god, that'd be horrible.
Super horrible.
But on the fact that it is January and we're recording we're going live right now on the 27th of January, and that's a couple days after Bell Let's Talk Day, which is was on the 25th of January. My wife wanted to get, you know, Kristen on here again, but ironically, there was a death up at the hospital that shook up the staff quite a bit. So she got called in. That's where she is right now. And then, Patricia, who's been on the show before, right? You know, with our HR insights, which is amazing. She's an amazing contributor to our show. She's sick as a dog. I spoke to her. She's hacking up a lung. She can't come on. So, that's why we haven't been able to, connect, with a guest today. We were supposed to have two guests today, but just, you know, circumstances, but unfortunately, reiterates the importance of, yeah, Patrish, hopefully you feel better. Sorry to hear that, kind of sucks, but, you know, we'll touch on that briefly, you know, and the steps that people are taking to raise awareness of mental health.
Yeah, I think we should just talk about our own experiences in mental health, because I don't think we can touch on it briefly. It's such an important thing coming out of the pandemic right now. Like, it's huge. Like, I'm seeing it in kids, my kids' age, you know, that the mental health aspect is huge too. I think we talked about that with Kristen before, but it's in kids. Yeah. We're seeing it now. It just, I find men our age, we have a harder time talking about it. And that's part of the stigma attached to it. Like, three of us are Leaf fans here, so we clearly have mental health issues, you know? Like,
we have mental health issues, 100%.
We're a glutton for a punishment. I'm a Bills fan, too, so I'm a glutton for a punishment.
We're in an abusive relationship, yeah.
So, I'm not saying like,
Trevor
shit,
loves like, talking just... about the Leafs, so he's essentially a closet mental health issue person, so we know it.
Doesn't he cheer for the Habs?
I do.
Yeah, but he talks about the Leafs more than the Habs, so we know what's going on there.
No, but I mean, if you're talking about mental health, I mean...
They got their 26 cups way back in the day, back in black and white when the 93, because nobody considers the Blue Jays a champion anytime recently, but Habs fans do.
Yeah.
Right. That's last year.
Yeah. But you know what? In all seriousness, Jeff, I mean, we were all raised probably in a similar generation, right? But that it wasn't cool or it wasn't masculine to express the softer side of your personality. But, you know, I think good on us to recognize it and try to teach our kids differently.
I've got a great personal example that I bring up that it was probably the darkest time of my life. And I like to bring it up not because I like to talk about it. Believe me, I'll get teary-eyed talking about it. But I think it's an example of what a lot of, you know, middle-aged men, and I'll admit I'm middle-aged, and I think they talked about it before, the suicide rates for men between 40 and 50 are at its highest and all that. But back before we had kids, we were trying for kids, and we lost a kid about 2 weeks prior to having to name them in utero. We lost it. I self-proclaimed that I'm a happy-go-lucky guy. I think I had a very fortunate life growing up. I did have divorced parents and all that, but most things kind of worked out pretty good for me. I'm optimistic, so it works that way. And I was just blindsided when we lost the baby. It was really, really bad, really tough. I didn't take it very well. I didn't leave the bedroom for probably about 2 months. My wife was the only one who was kind of around. And I felt like I was abandoned by friends and all that. But it came down to, I didn't let anyone know how I felt, because it was tough. Like, I don't know what was going on. Like, I couldn't get out of the bedroom. I couldn't get out of the house. The way I kind of did fix it up was, it was funny enough, Toronto Maple Leafs games, whenever they were on, I kind of cleared my head and I was concentrating on that. So it's weird, but it was my wife who went through it and who I should have been stronger for. And I'll never forgive myself kind of for that. She's the reason I kind of got out of it. I slowly started walking to my uncle's restaurant. He opened a restaurant down the street from us, and daily we'd go there and eat really unhealthy food, but it got me out of there every day. And I'd go back to the bedroom, I just wouldn't leave it. And I remember my father had one of his brothers passed away, one of my uncles, and I couldn't get myself out of the room. I was in a dark place. I didn't know what was going to happen with me, and I got out of it, and I feel better for it. I look at my kids now, and I honestly hope my kids don't listen to this podcast, because they don't know about that, and we haven't talked about it with them yet. That, you know, they kind of had a brother. We knew it was a boy, but that was the darkest moment of my life. And I remember when I found out, I took my shirt off. It was super cold out, and I was walking down the street in like 0 degrees weather with no shirt on, just because I couldn't breathe. And it was the toughest thing. And honestly, talking about it right now, it's tough. And it was 2 years of I couldn't even watch like anything about family death or children or anything like that on a make-believe TV show and all that, just because I get so anxious. And I wish I could have, you know, had like THC or something to eat or calm my anxiety down. I couldn't. I had to go on pills for a little bit, and they were making it worse. So I weaned off of that. But I've had other friends who've had that, and I go out of my way to try to share my experience for them, because it's hard and you can't get through it. But you need support. You need a great spouse, which I have. You know, you need friends, but you need to tell them that you need help. Because if you don't tell them, especially men our age, you know, you kind of trap everything inside, and you don't know how to talk about it, because you do feel kind of weak, especially how I felt, you know, not being there for my wife when we went through the toughest part of our lives. And lots of other people have been through this too, but, you know, just tell friends and have a beer or whatever and talk about it, because there's so many people out there that have similar stories and they just don't know how to talk about it because it's tough, but talking about it helps you out. And that's my experience. I wanted to talk about it, but I have met other people and talked to them about stuff like that. And just me sharing their story, my story, helps them open up about their story. And then it makes it easier. And that's the hard part right now. So.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Thanks, Jeff. Wow, I didn't want to bring that up or anything, but thanks for sharing that.
But this is the important thing, to start sharing stuff like this, right? Like that's
And you're right. You're right. Because, you know, everyone knows Kristen's a psychotherapist. She has her own business. And obviously I've never been, and Rookie, if you could keep it on the four of us, that'd be great. Just to kind of, you know, see reactions and allow us to interact and stuff like that. But I think our listeners need to know, because, like, listen, we're four very successful people, and our wives are equally successful. And
but they help make us successful.
Not only successful, well, though, we all have mental fortitude.
Well, yeah, like, and I'm going to get into that.
We're all very headstrong people. Our wives as well.
Yeah, and so I think. I never looked at mental health support or anything in a negative light at all, ever. Especially when my wife and I got together and she started kind of educating me more and more on social work and psychotherapy and stuff like that. And thought it was for me. Never thought I, you know, and most guys out there do get apprehension about going to a counselor or going to a psychotherapist specifically, because of the negative connotation that Jeff talked about. I'm going to tell you that, you know, during COVID, and we've gone through a lot, Kristen and I, which is like externally, a lot of external influences that could easily rock a marriage and rock, you know, family life in general. Like, COVID. I mean, her sister was diagnosed with breast cancer. She survived, but they caught it early enough. But you couldn't see her because of COVID. So that just tore her up. And then we had shit with the sitters. You know, you have other, not the sitter that we had, but the one before that were watching our kids. And that was a shit show. And, you know, very troubling accusations from them. Anyways, long story, I'll leave that alone, but, you know, had to leave the daycare. How about that? And, so it all worked out, but that grinds you down after a while. And then my dad got COVID, and in the same weekend, my sister, as we all know, and I'll keep this we'll keep the details off the podcast, but you all know about my sister getting divorced, right? Like it's, mm-hmm. it's, I've shared it all with you. You guys have all been involved. Bono, you've been dynamite. Trev, you were there to help her. But I needed somebody. I was like rage. And and Kristen, if she was on here right now, you know, you see the alcohol behind me. And that was during, you know, my 15 years of being in the, you know, back in my 20s, you know, having a great time and stuff like that. But I was turned into the bottle to what Jeff was saying. Like, I didn't know how else to cope. And so, you know, who ironically changed my mind on it? Three people, technically. One, Howard Stern, big psychotherapist, a promoter. And I'm like, well, if that guy can go, then I think I can go.
Yeah, anybody can go.
Dax Shepard, who's a Hollywood actor. You know, I'm not a big Hollywood guy, but I do like, you know, Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard in their movies and stuff like that. And he was on the Howard Stern show talking about his journey through psychotherapy and being proactive and his drug addiction and his alcohol addiction and stuff like that. And so, yeah, it was just, it got to a point where I turned to my wife and I went, okay, I need somebody. Find me somebody. Because
that's the most important step right there. Just saying.
And I go, because babe, I go, one of two things is going to happen. I'm going to stick down this road of the alcohol, which is not going to be good because alcoholism, I know, runs in my family, not immediate family, but hereditary on the extended side. So I'm very cognizant that it can go down a slippery slope. And then, you know, on top of that with me, I've just been in the business long enough to know, yeah, it's a dangerous drug. And then the second thing, I'm just going to take it out on the family, which is not fair, right? Like I'll be just irritable all the time. So best decision I've ever made was to go see a psychotherapist and to, you know, discuss about all the stuff that was going on in the family, like at that time, you know, the sicknesses and the divorces and stuff like that. And it allowed me to cope because it gave me the tools that I needed in order to get through it all. Because I didn't, like, to Jeff's point previous and to Bondo's point, you know, our parents are from a generation, and not to no fault of their own, their parents are World War I, World War II vets. They came back from World War II with no mental health support, no medication, no counseling. They were given alcohol.
And cigarettes. Legit,
that's true. And yeah, cigarettes. Well, right? That's why they all loved rum. Legit. My grandfather, God rest his soul, was in the Navy. And they were given rum. And it's just like, yeah, we know what you saw. You see, yeah, there's that barrel of rum over there. Okay, just go have that. Because that's literally how they coped, right? Like, it's, you know, postpartum depression wasn't really addressed until the 90s. Like, women were having babies and were depressed, and no one knew why, and no one knew how to handle it. Mental health, you know, like anorexia and bulimia and all these different, you know, illnesses that people struggle with daily, and no one knew how to handle it. You just kind of buried it. And so that's something that I think is a great evolution that's happened. But you also have to liken it from a sports analogy. And think about it this way. There's one thing that to all the guys out there, a good psychotherapist is someone that doesn't have an opinion. They just sit there and they listen. That's it. That's when you know you got a good one.
It's like a good bartender, though, too, right?
Well, that too. But that is essentially to your point, Jeff, that's not a bad analogy. You know. But they don't have any skin in the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of the guys here on this show, I was just chatting. I was on a bus trip, a bunch of clients and myself, and we were chatting in a pretty big home builder in Niagara. I won't mention his name because no, it wasn't you, Collins.
I'm not a big one. I know it wasn't me.
Anyway, he was saying he came up with actually a really great definition of going to psychotherapy, and he came up with it himself, just talking to all of his friends. I don't think he himself has gone, but he just, and he was just really interested to talk about it. And he goes, you know what? It's like walking into a room with all your pent up anxiety and your feelings, dumping it in a box and just leaving. That's it. So somebody else has taken this burden who does not have any skin in the game, doesn't really care what decision you make. They try to help you along the way, but there's no judgment. There's nothing. It's just you go in there. So you look at it is, if we all played hockey and we pulled a groin muscle, or we maybe slightly tore an ACL or an MCL, or we had a calf strain, and the coach said, okay, get back out there. Today, even with a concussion, you're looking like you're losing your job as a head coach, because why would you put out a damaged player who can't do? We now know what, you know, loading is, right? Because of, you know, Kawhi Leonard. And you kind of, you know, load management and making sure that, you know, it's better to have Kawhi Leonard out on the court at 100% than Kawhi Leonard at 60%. And everyone agrees. You go see a physiotherapist, you go see a chiro, you go see a massage therapist. But why is it that every time we talk about mental health, which happens to your brain,
an organ in your body,
which controls your entire body, everything's controlled by the brain. But we talk about going to psychotherapy or seeing a psychiatrist as being a negative thing. I don't see after going through it myself, I don't see how it's a negative thing. I've actually had the two best years in business in my entire career since doing psychotherapy, because it got rid of my anxiety. Like it allows me to deal with any anxious, you know, any anxious thoughts or anything of that nature.
Well, and sports teams are recognizing that too. Like sports teams have team psychiatrists and all that too now.
All teams now, like my wife has her own private practice and consistently and works out of a chiropractic sports facility, as you guys all know, constantly gets referred young athletes constantly. And she laughs because she's like, I don't know anything about sports. And I said, babe, you don't have to. It has nothing to do with the sport. It has everything to do with getting out of your head. Give them the tools to get out of their head. That's what's stopping them from being at 110%. It has nothing. It's giving them the tools. They don't have the tools. So who cares if they play golf or hockey and football and you don't know how to throw a ball or shoot a puck? It doesn't matter. That they know how to do that. You need to give them the confidence and the tools to go and do that.
Like, look at the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills, after that guy almost died on the field. It's all about mental health for them and all that. Like, they shut it.
Why do you think
NFL recognized it? Kind of. Like, they had no choice. They were put in a bad situation, but Twitter was all over them about, like, cancel the game and all that. But these players, you know, are going through PTSD. They watched one of their teammates that they blood, sweat, and tears with every day die on the field. Oh. And, you know,
he was dead.
Resurrected right there. He was dead.
It could have been any one of them. It could have been any one of them. There was nothing.
The crazy thing in the NFL, and this is the neat thing that Terry Pegula did, if you're an NFL player and you're making $1 million a year, which not all the best players are making big bucks, and you go on the injured reserve list, you make half your salary. Did you know that? That's what they do in the NFL, because they're not guaranteed. So what Terry Pegula did and Brendan Bean for the Buffalo Bills, they stepped up and said, we're making them whole. No matter what, we're making – you know, it was a great PR move and all that. But they looked at it from the human side. And if you look at that game, Sean McDermott literally said, I don't care the consequences of this game. I have to be with my player at the hospital.
Yep.
Screw it. Fuck it. If we lose the game, whatever, we'll do it. And the other coach and the other team said, no, you be with your player and all that. But they're all going through psychoanalysis and everything nonstop since then, because they're not all going to handle it the same way, right? Like I don't know if we were doing a podcast and one of us dropped on the ground and we had to perform CPR on you guys for 9 minutes, so you're alive. Like, how do you go to sleep that night and all that, you know, thinking one of you guys might have just lost, you know, the father of your family, the father of kids, wife, spouse, all these people alone. His mother was there, you know, like, oh, so important to get through that stuff. And they got to talk about it, right? And they're talking about nonstop. Well, so it's a neat change and evolution in mental health right now because of it being promoted more often, like Bell's Let's Talk days.
Well, it's just, well, being, I think we, it's, you know, as a world, we're just trying to say, look, let's get out of our shell a little bit, right?
Let's talk. Let's talk.
And I think, like Bell says, let's talk. It's a really nice slogan, right? Pegula's got a really good daughter in tennis, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The thing is we need to talk about it because, you know, we are all very successful in our businesses. And I think I will tell you unequivocally, I would not be reaching the heights that I'm if it wasn't for psychotherapy. Wouldn't have. Because I just didn't have the tools to deal with, you know, the anxiety of life. Just as you know, with kids and marriage and, you know, a busy world and stuff like that. And, you know, I think... I'm lucky in the sense that I've got a wife where I could I could say something to her, and obviously her being in the industry, she saw that as a strength, not as a weakness. And I think she just turned around and she basically went like, "What do you want? I'm going to get it for you." And I found a really good one. He's amazing. And you know what? And there were days I just there's nothing really going on. I just went in to talk, right? Yeah. Hey, how's sales? How's business? How's this? How's that? And that's it. We just shot the shit. But when you got the rest of the world going on and these, you know, lockdowns happening and unlocking and locking and then locking and vaccines, this, and you don't know how to. Because it's a once in a hundred year event that took place, and you know it was pretty substantial, and everyone dealt with it differently. But
and they're still dealing with it. We're still dealing with it. Like we're still in it right now. It's the economic recovery of it right now. But it, like, yeah, think about all the shit going on right now with like for my finances and all that stuff. For example, pandemic. We're printing checks right now, you know, and now it's let's take back, claw back all that gains in the real estate industry. Now I have to talk to all my clients about it and I have to have answers for it, but it's like nonstop. I'm like, oh, I can't sleep at night. You're thinking about it and you got to give them the right advice and all that. You need someone to talk to. I always think about psychoanalysis. You ever watch 2.5 Men with Charlie Sheen? Everybody was pretty famous.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember his therapist on it? What the heck was her name? It was so funny though, but he would go in there and talk about his problems and be oblivious to what a womanizer he was and having a separate outside opinion talking about. She's like, well, clearly you're an idiot. You don't understand what's going on. But having someone else who doesn't know you looking at your life and analyzing it, that's not that close to you, might be able to have a better opinion about you or be able to help you because they're looking at it from a distance, right? They're not so close to you and they're talking to you about it. I love those episodes. They're some of my favorite episodes. But he was just like, "What do you mean? I'm attracted to
my mother." You know, like, what about The Sopranos? Right? Yeah. Like the famous irony of it all is here's this massive mob boss who had all this control over New Jersey, and he was getting panic attacks, and he needed to talk to a psychotherapist, a psychiatrist.
The pressure of being a mob boss. You never think about that, eh? There's so much pressure.
Your life's on the line all the time, right? And think of all the frontline workers, right? Like a doctor makes a mistake, a nurse makes, and one of the big components of my wife's job is up at Trillium Health Partners up in Toronto, the three sites, is talking to nurses and doctors and paramedics and anyone that needs her because they make a mistake, someone dies. I make a mistake and Collins, Lindy, and Bondo, you know, they might lose 10%. I can make that back. I can correct that.
It was a 27%, you know, wasn't it? I thought we were 25%. Now we lost.
You can't count. That's what you can't do. You're not at 27%.
I can't read the clock. I thought it was a 12 o'clock start today. That's what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the guy that can't read a freaking clock, and he's telling me that he's down 27%. But in all honesty, that's what she does because – they screw up, someone dies. That's their negative. That's the worst case scenario for them, right?
I'm noticing, you know, all of us, the only one really quiet here is Trevor. Maybe he needs to learn how to open up a bit. Open up, Trev. Open up. Jesus. I'm still thinking about You open up about your stress with Toyota. You can open up. It's got to be Habs fans. I mean, stressful right now. You got to keep all that in. You can't even talk shit right now.
Like, you can't. I'm okay to talk about
climbing in.
I'm okay to talk about the mental health that kind of went down in my life. I mean, it's constant. I mean, I had a really, really weird start to my life, I guess, in terms of the life that I can remember. When I was 11, two of my best friends passed away in a car accident. Yes. So I had to deal with, like, they were my line mates on my hockey team, Sylvain, Jeffrey Jones, Sylvain Bredet. And at 11 years old, you don't really fully understand that you're not going to see these people anymore for the rest of your life, right? Like, you know what I mean?
Brutal.
So it kind of started, and this might be a little bit informative to some of you guys as well, because you know me as I've got a fairly tough exterior, but you know deep down that I'm a soft guy. So this kind of gives an explanation as to that, right? So it kind of started off there. And then my parents split up when I was 13, and I was kind of, you know, my old man was an alcoholic or a huffer, and he did his things abusively to me, but that was kind of normal, right? Like, and I didn't really comprehend the breakdown of the family, or really, didn't really see it coming, right? So I was pubescent at 13, and really, you know, big changes going on in my life as it was, right? And then at 14, I watched my grandmother, who was my surrogate mother, essentially, because my mother had us very young, have a stroke, both my sister and I, right in front of us. And we didn't understand what was happening to our Nana, our grandmother, right? She was praying to St. Anthony at the bottom of the stairs before she went up, but she did every night. And she just ended up on her ass, right? You picture a little 4'10" lady. Never seen my grandmother on her ass, like, you know what I mean? And there she was on her ass, and my sister and I were, you know, trying to lift her back up, not understanding that, you know, the woman just had a stroke. So that kind of put me mentally in a tailspin. I just said, fuck the world, right? Excuse my language or whatever, but, you know, I just said, to hell with everybody. That's the
right words to say.
Yeah. You know, and then, so I rebelled for a good period of 4 or 5 years. And throughout the course of that, I'm a northern kid. You don't show emotion, right? Up north, generally speaking, that's men or women, right? Like, you're rock breakers and lovely people, don't get me wrong, but strong, you know what I mean? Like,
hold it all in, right?
Hold it all in. Hold it all in. No weakness at all. So it, you know, it drove me to different substances and throughout the whole course, you know, multiple people. I mean, at this point in time, I've told all of you guys, I've had no fewer than like 30 of my relatively close friends, and I mean like close as in any one of you three here on this podcast, pass away through either suicide, some form of death, you know, being shot. So for a good period of 4 or 5 years before I met my wife, I was, you know, fuck the world. And I'm still dealing with the trauma that I suffered back then now, right? And that's part of why people look at me and say that, you know, I'm very family focused and this and that, because I didn't have much of a family then. So I'm kind of living two families now. I'm living as a kid and I'm living as a parent all at one time.
You're living, right? What you wanted to live as a kid, and you're providing that for your kids now, right? Because you
correct.
Missed. I see, yeah. What you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Divorce so at that age, my parents divorced too. It's traumatic.
Yeah.
When you're young and your parents split and all that, because that's all you know, right? That's what you think of family is, and all of a sudden it's done. You know,
it's your whole world.
Yeah.
It's
like, for me, it was, I was with my dad for weekends, which he partied, and with my mom during the week for school. You know, that was my life growing up. I had lots of freedom. I loved it, but it was, you know, it was toughening me up. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. You learn the streets, right? You learn the streets. You learn, you learn the real world,
right? You've got freedom at a very young age. You know, like I look at other kids that my kids hang out with, and the ones that, you know, have single parents go back and forth, they're a little tougher. They're a little more experienced. They know other stuff, where my kids are kind of sheltered, and I like it that way. You know, I want to protect them and all that. Yet he seems like he's behind on certain things, but I want him to be a kid as long as he can. You know, I want to support and love and nurture like all of you guys would with your children, right? It's tough. Like I look at my dad and the stuff that he went through growing up that I heard, and he never talks about it. He buries that down, doesn't want to talk. And the stuff he went through is
down in his toe.
What happened to him? I can't believe. Like if I was in his shoes, I don't know if I would have been able to press on.
Yeah.
Right. And once in a while, when he's got some beers in him, like that'll come out. You know, once in a while, it's an emotional thing. But like that era, bring it to your grave with you. That's the way they are taught to be. And I think it's way too important, because I think you just talking about your past right there, the more you talk about it, I do feel like you heal.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah, you 100%.
You can talk about it, right?
You do.
Well, first time talking about it, I was teary-eyed talking about my story today, you know? And yeah. It's like before, I couldn't leave the room, you know? But talking about like our dads and all that,
And it's not their fault. And you got to remember, it's not their fault, because they were never, like, you are a byproduct of your parents. That's it. If you look at biology, if you look at sociology, and you look at how humans develop, your first interaction to the world is your dad and your mom, and then subsequently any siblings that you might have. So if you're not taught, or if you're not given the tools to deal with something, that's not your fault. And it's not your parents' fault. They don't have the tools to give you. So it's like,
correct.
It's like fixing a car. It's like, here's your toolbox. It's like, well, I'm missing a hammer, and I'm missing a screwdriver. And it's like, well, sorry, son, that's all I've got.
Yeah.
Right. So you got to, what would you do? Well, you'd go to the hardware store, and you'd go and buy a hammer, and you'd go and buy a screwdriver.
Now you YouTube it. Now you YouTube it. How do I,
how do I fix it?
But to that point though, Curry, like, where does the accountability piece come in? Because in terms of the way I'm navigating my life, with all due respect, I'm trying to look at I'm going to screw up. I'm guaranteed I'm screwing up in some aspects of my parenting with my children, in all aspects of my life, I'm screwing up. I'm imperfect.
Sure.
And that's what I've got to accept. That's what everybody's got to accept, right? But I'm looking at my parents and where they screwed up as a platform to learn from, what not to do, what I didn't like with my parents. Right?
Like,
and I'm cognizant of that when I'm parenting my kids. So the old adage is you learn a lot of times what not to do from your parents.
Yeah, and I've done that, right? Like, you have to look at how your parents raised you, and what my psychotherapist basically said. He goes, it's the hardest thing to do to criticize someone that you love. And it doesn't matter what the aspect. It could be your partner, it could be your kids, it could be your parents, it could be your grandparents. It doesn't matter.
The podcast. It's
the hardest thing to do.
Yep.
But you need to acknowledge it, and then just forgive them, and move on. Right. It is what it is, because they didn't know what they didn't know.
That's hard.
Right.
That's hard.
So it's hard, but you gotta just move on. Like, at the end of the day,
especially
your dad,
especially with family.
Well, and your dad, you gotta remember, like, alcoholism is the symptom. It's not the cause. Right. So there's some shit that your dad was or is or dealing with. That's buried deep, and that's not good, that he could not cope with. Now, what that is, it's not for this podcast. If you know or you don't know, it doesn't matter. That's not what I'm getting at. Yeah. So forgive him. And it is what it is. But at the end of the day, now I got to look at it and go, okay, I don't want that. And now I'm going to do, now, am I screwing up as a parent? Absolutely, I am. And I've caught myself a couple of times.
It's not easy to forgive somebody, though, that has, your opinion, significantly negatively impacted your life, right? It's not easy to forgive, right? Like, it's easy to roll off the tongue, right? Like, and to be honest with you, Curry, I forgive my father. Like, you know what I mean? I forgive your father, my father, for the lack of support that I received from him and the lack of guidance. Like, I had to throw a baseball with my father. You know what I mean? Or play pass, throw a football.
You know the weirdest part, Josh, right? Is? The weirdest part is you probably became who you are today because of that, though, because of that difficult beginning in life, right? So you're like, in a way, you almost want to thank him because you didn't want what he had. And so you worked your ass off to make sure and said, I could do it better than you did. You know, it didn't have to be this way. And now that's who you became today, right? Which is, it's a weird way to look at it. But, you know, like, the hardest part I have, the thing growing up as a father now, and when you're talking mistakes all the time, for sure, I make a ton of them as a parent. Mm-hmm. And you think, you know what? I got to where I am because I had a raw deal kind of growing up. Not a raw deal. It wasn't terrible like that. Divorced parents, it happened, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But I missed out all my other friends who went on those vacations, those family vacations. I never had them. Never had family vacation. I had one. Had one family vacation with my parents together. You know? Didn't have a dad.
We came to Niagara Falls from Timmins.
Yeah, well, my parents' honeymoon was in Niagara Falls, right? So that's a whole different
Crystal
story.
Beach, Mike.
But the weird part growing up, you know, like all my sporting events, like my dad didn't show up to, but my mom did, right? But now my dad comes to all my kids' stuff, right? So he's trying to make amends on his second. That's the beauty part of being a grandparent. You get a second shot at being a parent again, right? Yeah. And it's a weird part. But like if I had everything handed to me when I was a kid, maybe I had no drive. And now, so the biggest, weirdest, scariest thing for me is, do I make my kids entitled by giving them everything they want? Because as soon as they want something, I get it for them. It's like, whatever, you know? But now my son's 13. He wants drums. I'm not giving it to him. I want him to earn it, right? So am I making a mistake here? Am I not? You know, I don't know. I don't want my kid. I see so many second-generation tradespeople or realtors and all that. And, you know, they're handed the golden key to the industry. And a lot of times they just, you know, kill it within a year or two because they didn't have to earn it, you know? So that, to me, is the biggest obstacle I'm trying to figure out as a parent. And me and my wife, we talk about it all the time. And we want them to go on vacation. We want them to grow up. But a lot of times, my biggest problem, too, coming home after working my ass off all day, run around and, you know, 4.5 hours in the car and phone calls and stress and, you know, have these terrible conversations. They're coming back. My kids come home and I'm wiped.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there on the couch watching a hockey game. The Leafs win again, which they did last night.
Attaboys. Good job.
And I'm like, I should be in that room right now and having like heart-to-heart moments with them or imparting some kind of knowledge on them. And I'm not because I'm wiped here. And I just, all I can think about is just being brain dead and staring at this TV because I've got nothing left. You know, and that's the important part of those family vacations you got to have. If you have that cottage up north and those special moments, like we're going to Blue Mountain next weekend. And it's like, no electronics come with us at all. Let's just hang out, weekend. Have some fun. No.
Well, this weekend, because we're live today. And it's Friday.
You finally talk and you got to have a smart ass comment.
Okay. You should hear the episode before he even got on.
Right.
That was hilarious. Just wait. Wait till you get
Trevor time.
Oh, we're chirping you big time.
I've already said all I need to say. I love it.
I'm a ball busting type guy. I like to give, I like to get, whatever. Enjoy.
You got to, right? If you give it, you got to take it.
Yeah, that's my buddies I grew up with. If you're not ball busting, it sucks, man. My wife tells me all the time, I went out with my friends last night, my wife says, and we talked all these in-depth love and, you know, and emotional things. And she's like, what'd you talk with your buddies? I'm like, I don't know. We made a couple noises, did a couple shots, talked about sports. Yeah. Nothing substantial whatsoever. I don't know. Farted a couple times.
But they're
times,
beauties.
About it. I don't know. It was 4 hours of doing that. I don't know.
You know what, Jeff?
In-depth conversations with guys.
Jeff, you love your kids?
Absolutely. Take a bullet for them in a second. And that's something you got to contemplate as a parent, right?
But so just right there, that sets you apart, I think, from 60, 65% of the parents out there, dude.
I don't know. I think everyone loves their parents, their kids. I just think some people don't know what to do. just don't know. We're all just, kids who have kids, right? That's all we are. It's kids who have kids.
A lot of people didn't have kids intentionally or for the right reasons, right? So now they're left with, that's what I mean. Honestly, I think it would happen with my sister, right? Like, fuck, my mom had us when she was 16 and 18, right? Like,
that's crazy.
Kristen, you got to remember
do with these things.
Right. Well, Kristen, for example, I mean, you remember she worked for Fax.
Yeah.
Right. So Bondo, you're not that off. You're not that far off. You're not that far off. But I think just the importance of talking about it, the importance of going to see somebody about it. And that is the first step. It's a tough step to do.
But once you do it, right, Curry?
Once you do it, it's fine. It literally is. And it's to know that you have that phone number in your back pocket if you hit a crisis point. And I think a lot of people, I'm going to paraphrase here because I'm not in the field of mental health. So, you know, my wife would probably, you know, look at me side-eyed. Hey?
Crucify you later.
Yeah, crucial crucify me later. But there's actually to the suicide piece. First of all, you don't commit suicide. You die by suicide. Suicide is a symptom. It's not the cause. So that is it's a symptom. So and the reason why we use the term commit is because in religion it's a sin to commit suicide. That's the only reason why we say commit. That you don't commit anything when it comes to suicide. You die by suicide, just from a terminology perspective, get it, and just to drive that home. You didn't do anything wrong. That's a symptom. And when you die by suicide, there's like a list. And I was talking this over with who my psychotherapist, who's now become a friend, which is kind of cool. And a client too, which is great. And you know, he said like Christmas is a really hard time for like, and I'm not in that. You know, I'm more of a, hey, I just needed a quick fix and I need to talk to someone, and some coaching really is how I take it. But no, there's some people, you know, that need them on the regular. And there's like a laundry list of situations that take place. And oh, great jobs. Thanks, rookie.
Nice.
Good job. Good thinking. So please help. 1-833-456-45. We're missing a digit there. We're missing a digit. Okay, but we'll fix it and we'll get you the number.
Come back up.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing though. It's if three or four of those things on that list of like 20 something happens at the same time, and that person doesn't have an outlet, doesn't have help, doesn't have the person to talk to, that's it. They can't cope. So it's a bunch of things happening at an apex all at the same time. So Christmas,
makes sense.
Being alone, you lost your job, someone died, it's a death anniversary. Talk Suicide Canada, 1-833-456-4566, 1-833-456-4566. And hell, guys, like, you know, anyone that's out there, like, drop us a line if you want to chat. Like, mm-hmm. We're pretty easygoing guys. Oh. So like, if you're like, you know, on another podcast and you don't want to talk now, that's cool. But you want to shoot us an email, you want to drop a comment, ask us more questions about it. We're like I said, and you're like, hey, wow, I have to get over this anxiety or this depression or whatever. But I want to be successful or I don't know how to cope. Like, I don't know what it is, but And maybe you want to chat about it. Like, yeah, drop us a line. We don't care. We're pretty cruisy.
I think an important thing is too, if you've got kids, make sure from the beginning they're not Leaf fans or Bills fans, because it's a bad
road. That just adds to the mental health. Yeah. That adds.
It's just bandwagon jump like Montreal Canadian fans did a long time ago. They just took the team that won a lot, you know. Just take the team that wins all the time and go with that and have a nice, easy going, you know.
Okay, so you want to hear something funny? Is my dad's a huge Leafs fan. Mom was born and raised in Montreal. My dad was born and raised in Welland. So I had two choices growing up: Montreal or Toronto.
And you bandwagon jumped.
No.
You became a fan 93.
Two choices: Montreal or Toronto. I picked whatever team my dad hated the most is who I always picked. So I picked the he hated the Habs the most. I picked
you
Habs.
Clearly
he hated the Yankees
for wrong reasons, and you should see a psychoanalysis.
He hated the Dolphins
because you did it for the wrong reasons.
I picked the Dolphins. So just to be clear, that's kind of how I had done a lot of my choices in
Wagon Jumper in 93.
No.
So I did the same thing, Trevor. I cheered for the Habs up until I lost my grandfather.
Okay.
We used to watch Saturday night hockey. I was a Habs fan. He was a Leaf fan. Back when Naslin played for them, Richie, Penny was in net stuff. I was a religious Habs fan. Then my grandfather passed away. And now for the last 25 years, I've been a staunch Leaf fan.
What a mistake you made there, Abe.
But anyways, I bring this up
because I remember him every day.
So my dad, in an effort to brainwash my son, he always says that the Habs are dirt. Yeah. Leafs are the best. The Habs are dirt.
I like
Nate dad. Now says he's like the Leafs are dirt. So he's turned it around on my dad, on his grandpa, and it's Leafs or dirt.
Is he watching what's on TV right now? Because it's clearly the opposite.
No. Nate's not into sports.
To watch it? No.
No, yeah. No. Can't, bring
him. That breaks my heart. Neither of my kids like sports at all.
If I bring him to even an Ice Dogs game, surprisingly, I actually brought Nate to an Ice Dogs game in December, just before Christmas, and it was just the two of us. He asked, I kind of thought, I'm like, oh, maybe he is going to be interested in this, because the amount of questions he asked during the first two periods to try and understand the sport, what's going on, you know, understanding the offense, the defense, you know,
he's actually watching, which is good.
Yeah. He was actually, he's 8, he'll be 9 in May. So I was extremely surprised, because every other Ice Dogs game I've ever brought him to, and I won't bring him to any other, I won't bring him to an NHL game, because that's just a giant waste of money. All he wants is the popcorn or the nachos or the pretzel. You know,
see the big fans and the fee bearer there, right?
Right. It's what snacks can Carlton get at the game, not the,
you know what? This brings me up going to a sporting event. I want to point this out, because I've been going to the Bills games the last 2 weeks, and I'm going on Sunday again. The last good game we went to 80,000 people there. And it still spooked me to this very day. Walking out, and they have the top of the Highmark Stadium. There's a big banner up there where it says Highmark. And there's a guy out there with a sniper rifle this big.
Oh, yeah.
Bipod overlooking the whole crowd just in case anything happens right there. And I'm like, my buddy's like, check that out. I'm like, holy shit. It was straight out of Call of Duty watching the sniper rifle. I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm just thinking they're there in case anything breaks out, right? Because it's a mass crowd, and they've got the sniper guy there to.
Good thing you play DMZ every night. You could.
I don't play it. I haven't played it in a while. You got to get on there, Lindy. It's a good game. I'd be running like a bitch. I would be the worst person in a war ever.
I would die so fast.
Oh man, I'm not. I watch those war movies, and I'm like, I can't believe what these guys have went through. It's insane.
Life's complicated. Yep. Life's difficult, right?
I feel like such a pansy, because right? The stuff that our dads and grandparents went through growing up compared to what we got to deal with. Think about this pandemic. All they said was, you know, stay at home and watch TV. We'll get through it. We're like, oh no, we got to watch TV.
What are you doing to me?
Kids younger are getting drafted to war, and they got no choice. You're a healthy young male. You're going to war.
Drafted in World War II, they lied about their age to go to war. It was insanity. And then they came back purely with all of them with PTSD, no veteran support, which is one of my biggest pet peeves of the Canadian federal Canadian government. It burns me to no end. You do, you know, for this country, you should be on CPP enhanced for life. Done. Like it should be
so
done.
Pension.
Go Fed. Here's some pension. Just don't care.
Something crazy again about Katie's grandpa. He was in World War II, and it was kill or be killed. He's buried with a Nazi's ring.
Wow.
Wow.
Stole the Nazi's ring that he killed.
Really?
Huh.
Wow. That's pretty intense.
Buried with it. But everybody in the family wanted the ring, so that's why everybody knows the story that he's buried with it.
It's crazy.
Wasn't the same person when he came back from the war.
No, hell no!
How could you be?
No, yeah. and then that's the point. Impossible. And then what did they do? They went and got married and had kids, because that's what you do for mental health support? Question mark? I don't know. I went loopy after kids. Jesus.
I was a firefighter for 5 years up north. And I tell you, the shit that I saw in that short period of time, I don't know how these people do it.
No.
I don't know how people honestly.
Or paramedics.
Or a police officer.
Yeah.
A paramedic that see that type of trauma to their fellow humans. You're a better person than I am.
Well, the facts workers too. You're saying facts worker. Oh, like the stuff we have to do.
But that's why when you talk to a doctor, you talk to someone at facts, or when you talk to a frontline worker, firefighter, police officer, they do have a dark sense of humor. And it's because of that dark sense of humor is what they use to get through a lot of the crap. So it's a coping mechanism for them, right? Like I remember my next door neighbor, as you all know him, is an ER doctor on his off days. And we're not joking here. On his off days, yeah, he loves to have just a couple bevvies, nothing too crazy, but you know, loves to toke,
nice
to go to bed. But you have to remember when you're on weed and you go to bed, you don't dream. There's a reason for it.
When you're on what?
He doesn't want to. You don't dream when you use weed to go to bed. You don't. Really? You don't hit REM.
No. It suppresses your REM sleep.
That's why they give it to people with PTSD.
Some good dirty dreams you're missing out on though.
No, it's torture. It's hell. They don't want to relive what they relived, and that's the same with a lot of
frontline
workers. So it suppresses the REM sleep. So it allows you to have a great sleep, but not wake up in terror because of what you're
smoking it or eating it or either.
Doesn't matter.
It's the consumption of.
I use gummy. It's a consumption of. So, but anyway, you know, I appreciate everyone, you know, listening to us, and it's a little bit of hopefully a
a wrecking ball, though, eh? So I should do this more often. I'll come in a half hour.
I come in like a wrecking ball.
You guys bust my balls for a half hour. I come in, boom, like an energy jolt. Woo!
Fucking brutal. Anyway, yep, missing. There he is.
Come on, let's step that up a little bit.
Anyway,
oddly enough,
thanks
I took
everyone
that photo.
Thanks to everyone for listening in, and thanks to our sponsors, Brand Boulevard. Thanks to you know, participating, and we'd love to hear your feedback.
As a true Canadian, I like to say I'm sorry. I'm sorry I was late.
No worries. There's a lot of titans out there. There's a lot of titans out there. A lot of titans that are powerful and financially successful that suffer from mental health. Right? Don't think you're alone.
Nope. Funny comment about apologizing. So over the Christmas holidays, there was a Honda Civic driving in Niagara Falls, Ontario, and it was an American license plate, New York plate that said, sorry, eh?
That's Canadian.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Canadians are saying sorry to both saying sorry. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to say sorry. It was great. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
People who don't say sorry.
We lost the last part of your thing, Trev.
What's that? I cut out?
You cut out.
I heard
it was a New York license plate. The woman's license plate, it was a Honda Civic black, said sorry, eh?
That's good.
Nice.
That's 100% Canadian right there.
Right.
That could be Canadians' kids' names. Sorry and eh. Could be a true Canadian.
Well, Bondo, take us out.
Help us help you stay informed.
Yeah. Cheers.
Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all had.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
Produced by Crier Media and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.